Therese, that was exquisite. I don't know that I've heard that before. Wow. Oh. Lauren Daigle a la Cerise. Thank you very much. And may I just ask, I know I need to be reminded again, because today's the unforgotten, I apparently forgot. was that an original piece, the Freedom one you did before that? Oh, yeah. You are amazing. Thank you. What a privilege to have you here. It's a real treat to have you in the house, so thank you for coming. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I am the spiritual leader of this community, and I'm happy to be here. And hey, you just watched us pull off something really cool that most of you don't even know was happening. Most of the people that run the crew in the morning are not here today. So we had a lot of people step up and do some really incredible things to assure we would have a smooth and natural beginning to the service, and I'm certain that the whole service is going to be a blessing. So thank you for being here. I'm certainly happy to be here, as always. The title of my message this morning is The Unforgotten. And I had, it sort of got me when it came time to write that message. I knew what I thought I wanted to do, and then it felt really complicated come about Thursday or Friday. Did you ever do that, Noli, where you just go, what was I thinking when I picked that talk title? So we're looking this morning at, it is the weekend of Memorial Day. And this is where I started. I thought, I'll do a great talk and a tribute to all the people that in our lives, all the loved ones that have passed, and we'll have this beautiful tribute to any veterans that certainly are appreciated during this weekend. And so that's what I've done. I've created a message that is about people, but I have coupled that with principle. So we'll be looking at people and principle and practice, and that opening, that last piece that Cerise just sang really speaks my whole message so much more lovely than I probably will be able to do, but she certainly set the right tone for us. So the unforgotten is a sweet way of pulling us back to remembrance. And I think that very often, remembrance for me is one of the key elements of my spiritual practice. Because when I forget what I believe, the world looks different and it feels different to be out in the world or just to sit in your living room and watch TV. So we're talking about taking the time to stop and remember. We're doing that in very real ways this weekend in terms of the holiday and acknowledging people and loved ones. But we're taking a specific time to recognize those that are worthy of the recognition. So when I thought about that, when I wrote that out in my preparation, I thought, oh my goodness, recognition is the very first step of spiritual mind treatment. It is a process of affirmative prayer that that we are sort of founded on. It's one of the greatest things about the teaching, the science of mind, or the religious science perspective. So I took a moment to look up the idea, the definition of recognition, and it means to know again. See, there's something in there that I haven't thought of before, and that is to know again. The definition says, recognition is the act of identifying someone or something because of some sort of previous knowledge. So it's in many ways waking up. And so much of the spiritual path is about that. So it may not seem like we always know what to do in any given situation, But we will tell you, if you're faced with a decision, you either have to make this decision or that decision, and you sit with one of our spiritual practitioners, we will tell you that you may not know, but something in you does know. And that's where we sit with you. And that's where we help you to see that, to capture that higher wisdom, to move into that place of, I call it an inner noble knowing. It's an acronym for INK, because anything in INK, I like to write, first of all, but in INK it implies permanence. It's an inner noble knowing that is always inside of us. So this idea that we start prayer with this first step of recognition, what are we recognizing? What are we recognizing? God. That we start at the very beginning. God is. Spirit is. And what do we know about the presence of Spirit, or the I Am, as Kathy so beautifully read in her reading today? What do we know about that? Well, we know it's always present, and that it's everywhere present, and that it's almighty, and that it's all-powerful, and that it is the guidance and the direction, and we know all of these great truths, and each of us personalizes that truth in a way that works for us. So it doesn't matter what you remember. If you simply start with those two words, God is, that has the power to pull you right out of whatever it is that you're worried about. That has the potential to ground you right in the moment to know that higher truth, to rise above your problems. Every time Cerise sang that line about rising, oh, I could just feel that. That's such a glorious, you can feel the lift in it when you follow the lyrics. So we have within us an unforgotten knowledge, and I don't know that we really forget it, but I think we put it aside. I think we just put it aside, and we get busy in our day-to-day living. We get distracted by stuff that comes up for us, and every now and then, it's really beneficial to go back to truth, to ask yourself yet again, what do you believe? In the biggest pickles of all, that's where I start with a question, what do you believe? And that takes me immediately to the first step of a powerful prayer, and to that is to recognize God. This is what Ernest Holmes said about it. Ernest Holmes, if you're new to the teaching, is the founder. And he started publishing books about 100 years ago and has created this beautiful model that is a guide for us in all of New Thought. He brought a great method for us, including this ability, this clever way to pray. Holmes said this, "We are only limited when we have forgotten truth." We're only limited when we have forgotten truth. We have thought outside things can control us, when all the time we have had that within us which could have changed everything, which does change everything when we remember. When we wake up from our sleepfulness or our forgetfulness. So I like to think of it as remembering is that place where we return in our own awareness, we return to the truth of our being. We are not separate from God. We are not separate from each other, but we are all parts of the whole. And so to remember is to remember ourselves with the whole, to bring ourselves back into alignment of the whole. To really, you know, there are moments every Sunday morning, and this was no exception, there are moments when I can feel that current. As we're just setting the tone and we're just building up to this part, there are places in all of that tradition, sort of the ritual at the West Valley Center, the Sunday morning ritual, where you begin to feel, you can feel the current. And my aim is always to put myself right in the middle of it. Because if I'm in the current, if I'm in that divine movement, then I will be a part of what is the highest and the best for us on as a community. And that's important to me. So we're talking about practice. We're talking about having conviction. intuition, for knowing the way things work. It brings us, when we study this stuff, it can bring us to an absolute certainty that then clears away any uncertainty. And sometimes that's all I can rest in. I may not know the way through a challenge that I'm moving through, but I know that there is a way through. And I know that I'm not alone. And I know that I can always tap into that higher wisdom. So I want to talk a minute about heroes. Because I think this particular holiday stirs that idea of acknowledging the heroic deeds of other people. Did you ever notice that there are a lot of heroes that didn't become heroes till after they passed? Did you ever notice that? Do you have any of those in your own life? People that you had that were a little difficult to be with, you know, especially family. Sometimes we lose our grounding because we get sucked into the old family drama. And it isn't until a loved one passes that we then have the safety of realizing, wow, what an incredible person that was. You know, what a heroic life that person led in their own way. And so it's kind of funny that we can't always do it when they're in our presence, but I think the important thing is that we acknowledge there's something heroic about just living our lives. The other thing is that the heroes seldom think of themselves as heroes. I want you to really think about that for a minute. People that have done really incredible things, if you ask them how they got so courageous to be able to do that, they almost always don't think they did anything so courageous. They just did what was called to be done. So I was thinking as I was putting this all together about a situation that happened many years ago, probably about 20 years ago. We have one son. We have three daughters and one son, and he's the third born, so he's like in the middle of all these sisters. And when he was about 20 years old and he was still living at home, he had this experience where he just went in his truck to go get some gas to begin his day. And while he was pulling into the gas station, there was a very bad accident where the accident carried itself into the gas station. And it was one of those gas stations that's right on the corner. There wasn't much room from the pump. So now we have a really dangerous situation. And there was a woman who had just filled her car up with gas, and she was trying to get out of the gas station when she became involved in the other accident that sort of slid into them. And she was trapped in her car. And a bunch of heroes, a bunch of very courageous men, in my opinion, jumped out of their cars and started clearing people away from the gas station as if they were anticipating if something happened, if there was fire, we want to make this, you know, clear the place out. And some of them went to help the woman get out of the car, and she was trapped in the car. And she kept screaming and screaming, and my son was standing by sort of just involved, like going, you know, can you imagine what's going on here? It was all bam, bam, bam. And he heard her say, "My baby." And so he ran to the car, and he opened the back seat, and there were two infant twin babies in the back seat of the car. And he said to me, when he told me about it, there seemed to be such an urgency to get people clear of the accident that he doesn't even know how he figured out how to open those safety things, you know, the seat belts around the babies. But he snapped one, he snapped the other, he grabbed a baby in each arm, and then he headed out where they were clearing people to go. And when he told me this story that night, I was taken by it. Obviously, he's my son, you know. It's like my first concern was his safety. And it's like, why didn't you run the other way? It was the first thing that went through my mind. But he's telling me this story, and then it comes to this part where he got these two babies out of the back seat, and I said, my goodness, you're a hero. You did an incredible thing. And he did that same reaction. No, I just did What was there to be done? The woman was upset. They're trying to get her out. He was the only one that caught that quickly. It was like can you see the divine order in something like that? We don't understand that. We're not privy to it, and it doesn't matter. But all the players are there, and something ignites in us that calls us to action. And then people do brave things when they don't necessarily expect it. I think we need heroes, and I think that heroes help us to understand bravery. And I think also that we always think brave people have something we don't have. But I want you to really think about that this morning. I don't think that that's always the case. I think most brave and courageous people are us. I think it is circumstance that calls us to be able to demonstrate that bravery. Brené Brown, fabulous, by the way, goes so beautifully with that song that Cerise just sang. Brené Brown has done all this work on vulnerability, and in her very first book, Daring Greatly, she made this statement that you can't call it courage if you aren't scared. You know, so it's not that you aren't afraid, it's that you are enabled somehow to do something that then appears courageous through the eyes of other people, whether or not we ever figure it out. So circumstance, you know, life, the experiences we live in, those are the things that call us to demonstrate bravery. And I think when we recognize it, it gets a little bit contagious. Not that anybody wants to be called to do something brave, but I think we understand the adrenaline and the rightness of it. You have this gorgeous opportunity to see the holiness in it, beyond the drama of whatever's going on. So I think it's circumstance that calls us. And it's kind of like this. It's like the skydiver who has a friend, and he says, whatever got you started jumping out of airplanes? How on earth did you ever jump out of that airplane the very first time and know that you were thousands of feet up in the air and you just jump out of that airplane anyway? How does somebody do that? And the guy goes, well, it was easy. The plane was on fire and the engine died. We were going down. First time was fairly easy. So in some way, I know it's exaggerated, but it shows me that our experiences season us. You know, the circumstances of life bring us again and again and again to the hero's journey. And so I would have to argue with Tina Turner. I think we do need another hero. You know, oh, am I that old? Nobody liked Tina Turner. Thunderdome, we don't need enough. You're going to make me sing. I can feel it. No. Somebody else sing it. That is one of the best Tina Turner songs ever. We don't need another hero. But you know, I pulled the lyrics up because I kept thinking that. It's like, we do need heroes. And I kept hearing Tina Turner arguing with me on it. And I pulled up the lyrics this morning, and you know what she says in that? I never noticed it. I have the album. I never noticed, but she says, we don't need another hero. We need more compassion. We need more love. And so I probably would guess, that that song is very applicable for the state of the world we're living in now. Yeah, who said that? That was great. Thanks. A little louder next time. Ernest Hemingway says that courage is grace under pressure, and that makes me laugh because I think whenever I've had to rise to be courageous in any of the circumstances of my life, I'm just guessing, but it probably doesn't look real graceful. There's probably a lot of, high excitement in it. But Holmes said this, and this is a fabulous quote from Ernest Holmes. I was blessed to find it. Holmes said, we all need more backbone and a little less wishbone. Cute, huh? You'll remember that. 101 years ago, in that little book that I like so much, Creative Mind and Success. We all need more backbone and a little less wishbone. There's something within us that waits to spring into action, needing only our recognition. And with that comes all the power of all the universe. I mean, that's, I think, where we trip ourselves up, is we don't think we have the strength or the power, and we're thinking, again, that it's all up to us to figure that all out. But there's this gorgeous quote from the Course in Miracles. I like to remind you of it every so often. My end goal is that eventually some of you will know this one by heart, because it so fits exactly this discussion. When you are afraid, it is a sure sign that you are trusting in your own strength. When you are afraid, it is a sure sign you are trusting in your own strength. You have forgotten it just for a moment, but you have forgotten that there's a power and a presence that is greater than we are, and we can call on it, we can use it, we can practice being aware of it. And he says it so sweetly, all you need is your recognition. All we have to do is take that time to stop and pause, to take a breath and recognize that right where we are, there too is spirit. There too is all the power of the universe. So we just forget. Sometimes we just forget and we try and do things all on our own. And then I think in those situations where heroes really are called forward, if we're trying to do it all on our own, we're not in that gorgeous divine flow of something bigger that's unfolding. He gets the babies. These two get the woman. Everybody else clears out the space. All the people that needed to be there were there, and everything turns out okay. Brené Brown also said, you can't get to courage without rumbling with vulnerability. I don't know, maybe that's where the courage comes from, is because we don't like feeling vulnerable. And yet in all the work this woman has done, a tremendous amount of research that she has pulled together, I'm currently reading Dare to Lead, and I see that it's a gorgeous call to leadership. It is a gorgeous call at a time when the world is changing, when we need leaders to become spiritually accountable. And I don't mean religious. I mean that there is a way that all of us should be asking the same questions about the potential. What is my purpose? Why am I here? What do I want to do with my life? And do I want to just be carried down to the all the through all the stuff along with everybody else? Or would I rather take a stand, right? Take a stand and rise to that place where I am looking above the problem, where we can tap into the solutions, where we can sense the guidance, where we can find our place in the hero's journey. Because you know what? All of us, humanity, every one of us is on a hero's journey. And what that means is that there are just times when you look at the Joseph Campbell. We had a speaker here recently that did a series of videos and discussion groups. And when you look at what life brings, we see that all of us are called occasionally to get uncomfortable. Something pulls us away from the safety of our little home and our little world, and we have those experiences. And on the spiritual, when you are dedicated to a spiritual practice, those are the ideal times to remember, to wake up, to choose to view what's going on from a higher perspective. That's practicing courage. Now, Brené Brown has this idea that there are, she said, with all the research she's done, and then she always applies, I like this part, this makes her fun to read. She applies the research she does in her own family. She has a husband and a couple of kids. And so she has all this scientific research that's always being refined and created and presented in a very credible way. And she said, if you strip it all down, it comes to three things. There are three things we all need to carry us through challenging times. Would you like to know her idea of what those three things are? Okay. She says, name the obstacle. The first thing you got to do is name the obstacle. Now, what that means, I think, is that when we go quick to hiding from the problem, when we bury ourselves in a protected little space and we don't acknowledge the stuff in our life that's going on that is trying to get our attention for a reason, then we sometimes make the problem worse. You know, isn't it funny how you've just got that one phone call you don't want to make? That one phone call that's going to be really hard and you don't want to make it, and you don't want to make it, and you put it off a day, and you put it off 2 days, maybe you put it off a week, and then you finally make the phone call, and what happens? Whew, that wasn't so bad. Why didn't I do that a week ago? And that's how life is. So we name the obstacle, but here's what's really interesting to me is I believe we can see these same three things true in our teaching. Ernest Holmes, instead of calling it name the obstacle, says we must face the discordance. We must look at the discordance right in the face. You've all heard me say that if you've ever taken a class. So we are not positive thinkers. It's easy in New Thought to slip into thinking we're just positive thinkers and we just don't think about bad things. He is saying, and her research is saying, you got to look at it. Now we look at it because then it shows us the direction we would rather be working. It shows us specifically what other principle we can use in our thinking. And that's why practicing this works, because you then are able to pull it up when you need it. So name that obstacle or look at the discordant fact. The second thing she says is we have to stay open. We have to stay open. When problems come, it's so tempting to shut down. We have to stay open. We have to stay curious as what else is coming. That's a ministerial word, apparently. I like that word. We want to stay open to other possibilities, because I don't walk through stuff in my life in such a way that I'm ever going to have to repeat that again. I walk through stuff. I look for what spiritual principle is trying to be expressed in my life that I'm not seeing clearly yet. And then I align myself to the principle, not away from the problem, but to the principle, which will be the opposite of the problem. But that's where the healing lies. That's where all of our illness comes from. That's where prosperity issues come from. That's where relationship issues come from the stuff that is calling to be healed or calling to be brought to a higher state of wholeness. You know how we talk about consciousness is expansive and it's cumulative. We're always growing our consciousness. And so that's what that means, to stay open. Holmes says very frequently that we're looking to enlarge our thought. We're looking to stay open to that growth. We're looking to expand our consciousness, to create a larger container, to have a larger experience. And then the last thing she says in her research is that we just keep showing up. And Holmes used that term, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. So I see this great alignment through her three things that come from research and exactly what has been taught for more than 100 years in New Thought. When we are able to practice those three things, naming it, staying open, not running away from it, and then to keep showing up, what we're doing is eventually we're creating a path, right? So we walk through challenges, But the thing about walking through challenges is that it shows us you can do it. You can do it. You've done it before. Nobody here is a virgin when it comes to challenges, I'm pretty sure. You know, we've all done it. So we're creating this path. And in making that path, what we see is that I saw this, the book, I guess the book club's going to do it. The book group is going to be doing it next month. What we come to see, this is how Brené Brown worded it, is what stands in the way, what seems to stand in the way becomes the way. I think the title of the book is What's in the way is the way. Mary O'Malley. Oh, we have some experts in the audience today. Thank you very much. Didn't know that. Sounds like something I might be interested in then. And so that's the practice of living. You know, that's what makes us courageous, is that we just keep going on. Not that we're not afraid. Not that we'd rather be doing something else. All of that is true. Listen to how this gentleman said it, Phil Bolsta, who is a man who put together the best book of quotes I've ever owned. Chris, can you remember the name of it? Through Eyes of God, The Eyes of God? Through the Eyes of God, something like that. Great quote book. Phil Bolsta compiled them and also added his verbiage here and there. He said this. This is such a good quote. Obstacles contain divinely encoded instructions designed to further our growth. Isn't that great? You know, there's a scientific view. Obstacles, right in the obstacle itself, there is divinely encoded instruction that is there so that we can grow more. I love that. What a gorgeous way of knowing that what's in the way is the way. So our problems call us, and our problems also call forth solution. And if we choose to first recognize or remember, be the unforgotten in spiritual terms, when we do that, we are participating at a high level, and we are calling forth these very juicy, noble qualities of the soul. All the stuff that's already there, waiting for us to just call it forward. So I took some time yesterday, and I created my own version of three things. I was thinking as a minister, what would my three things be? What would I give you for dealing with difficult times? I'm teaching these really fun, I'm going to have such a good time with that new class, Crafting Your Personal Theology. And my three things are to know that this too shall pass, to know that, yes, indeed, whatever that is, it is growing me, and I would add gratitude. Certainly, we have to keep on keeping on, but I would add gratitude so that no matter what's going on, if we become skilled at noticing, recognizing God's still there, then therefore there has to be something right there that I can be grateful for. And so it's an odd time, but I think that's what it is. If I have lived through a challenge before, I know this too shall pass. I know that I'm growing. I can ask myself, how can I enlarge my thought? How can I see this from another view? Which, you know, you hear me say that a lot if you're here regularly. And then finally, what am I grateful for in this moment? I'm grateful to know, I mean, if nothing else, think about it. I'm grateful to know that God is right here. I'm grateful to know that I've studied this stuff enough that I really believe it. I know what I believe. So helpful to know what you believe. Not asking you to believe what I believe, but I am inviting you to start asking yourself, what do I believe? That's what these new classes are all about that I've been teaching. Gives you that opportunity, that classroom setting, a little homework, figure it out. What is it that I believe? And that's then how you know how to stand in your own truth when you need truth. You can't avoid the hero's journey. The fact that we are human means that we will have daring encounters. And I am not more courageous than you, and you are not more courageous than I am. We are all given the same accessibility to everything we need to move us through difficult times. And so I'll close this morning with a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. Bad times have scientific value. He wrote that in the 1800s. Bad times have scientific value. You get Brené Brown throwing in her research, talking about it. Phil Bolsta says, obstacles contain divinely encoded instructions. And now we look at Emerson. Bad times have scientific value. These are occasions a good learner would not miss. So live your life. Be alive. Be awake. Let us love and remember this weekend our loved ones who have moved on, the people who have served our country. Let us see that the waving of the flags is a way for us to wake up and make a renewed commitment to our own life, to live awake, to live alive. Don't go back to sleep. Know what you know and keep on keeping on. So let's take a moment to turn within and anchor these ideas in the words of prayer. At this time, I would ask the practitioners and the ministers, any ministerial students we have, if you would just stand and surround the room, we'll appreciate your consciousness, knowing that together we do rise a little higher. And reflecting back on all that has been said this morning, the lyrics to the music we have heard, we open our hearts to receive the little gem, the gift of our presence, that truth. Oh, I feel the love of God in this room. I feel the love of God within me, and I know it is the activity of life itself. I recognize that indeed there is no place where God is not. There is no way that God could be limited or confined or separate from us in any way. I know that right here in this room is that presence of spirit itself. It is greater than we are. It is the most powerful force in the universe. It is love. It is the truth that sets us free. And as we step into the freedom of expression, the freedom of living our lives in the ways in which we choose to live, we breathe. And we sense that something that is greater. We sense that higher wisdom within. I feel the love of God, and I know it is that very same magnificence that gives flight to the birds, that kisses the dew of the morning grass. It is that infinite intelligence that is greater and grander and more perfect than we are able to even realize in our humanity. And so this day I stand in that truth, knowing that right here there is something that is at the core of our being. It exists everywhere and it abides within us. And so we have in the cells of our body and the organs and all of the tissue and the molecules, we have that perfection in the DNA of who we are, God within, that which desires full expression in our vibrant, vital health. Spirit itself, desiring this expression of love on this planet. And so every time we feel a sadness when we believe we have seen something unjust, we know it is merely Spirit itself, allowing us to be more vulnerable, to love in a larger way, to allow ourselves to be carved out by those difficult things so that we might love more. So we feel and sense that love awakened within us. And we allow that love to be that guiding force, to be that light of truth. And so I know there's a healing going on. Right here in this room, there is a healing going on even now. There is truth being revealed. There are relationships being restored. There is forgiveness being offered and received. And we leave here this day restored. We leave here changed. We leave here uplifted and inspired. Not only for all that is, but for all that is yet to come. And so we walk with our heads held high in the glory of God, knowing that we are a part of something magnificent. And I say thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, life. For it is so good to know again. To recognize this truth, to feel it in our bones, to express it in our being. And in that sweet place of gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into that law that always responds affirmatively. I release it, and together we say, and so it is. Amen.